Are you waiting on something that hasn't happened in your life yet? This message is for you. God has purpose in your wait.
Grateful to be with you, and I'm excited about this whole series we've been in called You'll Get Through This. A lot of us are getting through things. I had to get through the Rockets' last game of the playoffs, and so it was hard, but I did. But you know, you have to get through stuff in life, right? There's just hard things that happen in life, and today I'm excited about this message because you'll get through your wait. I want to tell you something I've learned in life is that God has all of us in line in a wait. All of us are waiting for something to happen in our lives. And one thing I've learned about the Lord is that no one gets to cut the line. We all have a wait. I'm not sure what your wait is. Maybe you're waiting on God to deliver you the right man or woman of your dreams, you know? No one married should be agreeing with that. If you're married, you already have the right man, woman, dream. But right, maybe you're single, you're waiting for that. Maybe you're waiting for God to open the door. Maybe you're like Hannah is, we're about to study in the Bible, a girl named Hannah. Maybe you're waiting to get pregnant. You're like, man, Lord, am I ever gonna be able to have that baby, right? That's what she was praying for. I don't know what your wait is, but I know every one of us has a wait. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I'm just waiting to finally overcome this addiction or this depression. I'm waiting for my kid to turn around, I'm waiting for my marriage to get better. I'm waiting for my career to take off, I'm waiting for my business to finally get two or three really big clients so we can really start to establish ourselves. I don't know what you're waiting for, but all of us have a wait of some sort. So I'm excited about unpacking the story today. It's based on 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there or your Bible app. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you don't have the Church Unlimited app, you download that. The same notes I'm preaching from, you will have in front of you. We encourage you to do that. But let's jump into the story. This is a story about a girl named Hannah. Now, it says right off the bat, it says Elkanah, that's her husband, Elkanah had two wives. So right off the bat, we start off with the Jerry Springer show, right? Okay. This is messed up, right? And so, can I tell you something? The Bible is descriptive when oftentimes, when we somehow wanna blame the Bible and call it prescriptive. What that means is just because the Bible tells you something's happening doesn't mean it's approving it. The Bible also, I hear people tell me, the Bible's for slavery. No, it just talks about when there was slaves. It doesn't say it's for it. It's just telling you the honest story of Israel, which they were enslaved, and you know, later on they had slaves. But they did all kinds of messed up stuff in the Bible. There's polygamy in the Bible. There's theft in the Bible. No one's saying so. Therefore, you should steal. No. Don't confuse it describing a situation with prescribing a situation. So please keep that in mind. But let's tell the honest story of the life of Hannah. It says this: Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord at the tabernacle. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. Did you catch how it phrased it? It said the Lord had given her no children. Now, people like to argue this theologically. Wait a minute, I thought you said in the Bible that God never caused evil to happen. God didn't cause evil. He had just not caused good yet. You catch the difference? He didn't cause anything evil to happen. He just had not blessed Hannah with a baby, and she wanted a baby. A lot of times our issue with God is not that he's not a good God. It's just like, Lord, could you speed things up? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You ever had that prayer? Lord, could you just hurry this along, right? But sometimes God puts us in the middle of a wait. In fact, I really believe this. Would you write this down? God often uses barrenness to display his power and advance his plans. In fact, just in case you're thinking I'm only using this one story in this, no, let me show you. First of all, you got Abraham and Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Samson's mother all had to wait to have a baby. And so I just want you to know, this is not uncommon. It's not even uncommon today. And maybe you're hearing this message today. Maybe even someone sent you this YouTube, right? And you needed to hear this because you're struggling, thinking, does God even see me? Does he love me? Does he care about me? Does he know I'm longing to have a child? And the answer is yes, God sees you. God has a plan. God knows what he's doing, even though sometimes we don't think he does, he does. And let me tell you something else I've learned about God. When God wants to do something great, he introduces a wait. I see this time and again. When God's been doing something special, oftentimes there is a waiting period involved, and that's exactly what happens to Hannah. Now, this is pretty personal for me, because my wait was not a baby. That was not our wait. That was not Jessica and I's wait at all. In fact, she was fertile Myrtle. If I kissed her wrong, she got pregnant. It was like, what's going on? This is crazy. That was not our wait. But there's certainly been other areas of my life that I did have a wait. I mean, a lot of people have different areas that they have to wait. This last year, in fact, I just fulfill the commitment I made to God just about a week ago. This last year, about a year ago, my wife said to me, she said, "Hey, honey, I think you need to go see a counselor." That's code word for, "You're driving me crazy." You know, so I was like, "Okay, I can do that." You know, it's kind of in between counselors. Like, "Okay, yeah, sure." And so she's like, "Yeah, you're not right. I love you. I know you. You need to get some things figured out. Again, you're driving me crazy, right?" So I'm like, "Okay." So then I called another buddy of mine and I said, "Hey, Jessica's asking me to go see someone. I think I probably do need to do that. I'm just really burned out and I'm just getting snappy. I'm just not who I normally am." And he said, "I know just the guy. That I went to this guy. It's like an intensive thing. You should go. You'd love it." So I called this guy's office. And he specializes in kind of like leaders with a lot of things going on in their life, like CEOs, executives, pastors of large ministries, that kind of thing. So I called him. He was booked out a year in advance. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this guy's really hard to get into, right?" Like, "Oh, I guess it must mean this is what God wants." They said, "We got your number down." They called me back a week later. Someone canceled. This never happens. And I was like, "Okay, that's a God thing, right?" So I said, "Whatever the date is, I'll take it." So I flew out to see this guy. Within a few days, this guy does all these battery tests. He does his assessment, and he tells me something I did not want to hear. He says, "Hey, you know what? I really believe that you need to take a year away. Just step away for a year." I was like, "There's no way. I have too much going on. I can't do that." He goes, "Look, I'm not asking you to give everything up, but I'm saying for 1 year, slow down." I was like, "Okay, bro, again, you don't." I was like, you know, I did the whole arrogant thing. Like, "You don't know who you're talking to, man. I got this thing." He's like, "I don't care about any of that." He's like, "You need to slow down. I talk to guys like you all the time. If you don't, you're going to wreck your life." Now, when you hear that from a counselor, you got to take that serious. So I was like, "Okay, I get it." So I took an extended period of time off. Even when I came back, though, I committed for 1 year. And this is what he said. He said, "I want you for 1 year to commit to making no major emphasis, no major commitments, no big projects, nothing new." He said, "If your team wants to fulfill what you're already committed to, that's fine, but nothing new can happen." And for a guy like me who has a new idea every 5 minutes, it about killed me. I was like, "You gotta be kidding me." So I committed to this. It was so painful. I'm the guy who, when my kids are growing up, I always look at them and I say, "Don't just stand there, do something." And now God's looking at me saying, "Don't just do something, stand there." Very difficult for me to do that. And here's what I learned from that. I just fulfilled the year. Now I'm ready to roll. No, I'm kidding. God's teaching me a new pace. It's all good. But what God had to do for me, and I know a lot of men are like this, women can be this way too, but typically men deal with this. I had to, for years, separate out what I do from who I am. Does that make sense? I was bringing too much value thinking, "This is who I am." It's like, no, that's just what you do. But what about the day you don't do that? Are you going to be a wreck? Are you messed up? Are you think you have no value? So God had to separate that out. God kept giving me this same verse again and again, and I'll jump back in the story of Hannah after this, but all year long, for 8 straight months, God kept giving me this verse. Here's the verse. Psalms 2, verse 8. "Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession." Now, as a doer, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that means, God, you're going to give us great influence at the church to impact the nations. It's going to be awesome." But I'm like, "But Lord, you told me to take a year back. To step back. I mean, I'm still preaching and leading, but not with any new emphasis, no big plans. So why are you keeping this verse?" And I was like, "Lord, this is frustrating. You keep putting this verse in front of me, but yet I can't do anything. Why are you doing that?" 8 months in, I kept reading Psalms 2, verse 8, and then I finally realized it wasn't about 2, verse 8. It was Psalms 2, verse 7. I never saw it for 8 months, and then God finally showed me this. How stubborn I am. In case anyone's stubborn, it took me 8 months to figure this out. Look at the whole verse, Psalms 2, 7 through 8. "The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I become your father. Only ask, and I will give you the nations.'" Here's what God taught me. If you'll get still and be totally valued and satisfied with just being God's son, then and only then can I really give you the nations. Then I can give you the influence that you believe God has for your church to impact all over the world. In other words, God was telling me, you got to get still. You got to separate out who you think you are. You're just God's son, right? So maybe God's saying that to you today. Hey, you know what? This weight you're in, maybe God's just saying, you know what the weight's for? You're just my daughter. You're just my son. Be satisfied in that alone. If you can't be satisfied in that alone, you will not be satisfied getting what you want. Does that help someone today? I'd love to tell you it helped me. It more like wrecked me than it helped me at first. But now I can see that God had a plan. Because the other thing I didn't know 12 months ago when God told me this was that I was also going to need that extended time to help my father on his walk home, who's with the Lord now. So God does know what he's doing. God cleared my schedule so I could be with my father, with my mother and my sister as well, with my father more than ever. And so I'm so thankful now that God knows what he's doing. Can I just say that again? Did you hear that? God knows what he's doing. So the weight that you're so frustrated with, God actually has a plan with it. Let's go and jump back in the story. Check this out. So look what happens next. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Okay, now this is just wrong, right? So first of all, there's two wives. That's already straight up jacked up Mormon wives. What's going on here, right? This is like, what are we doing here, right? This is like, what's that, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives? Is that the right? Yeah, don't watch that. Okay, so Peninnah, although everyone is like, yeah, that's a terrible show. Watched every episode. Okay. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. As they went to the tabernacle, each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Now, this is an incredible line. This Elkanah is about to get the completely clueless husband of the year award. Okay, look, says, I love this. He says, why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Now, every woman, let's collectively do our hand together and slap, right? You're like, you're an idiot, bro, right? I hate to break it to you, bro, but you're not going to make up for a woman wanting children. All right, I just need to let you in on that little fact right now. God designed and built women to want kids. It's a healthy thing. It's a good, godly thing, right? And I'm not saying that every person is supposed to have children. I'm not suggesting that, but God did wire most women to want to have children, and he wired us to have families, right? It's a good thing. So she was just unhappy. And so what does this tell me, though? This is important. So she's praying, she's calling out to God, and every prayer is like, God, why don't you just give me a child? Why can't you just give me a child? God, I just want a child. God, can't you just give me a child? Every prayer, right? And so what's God doing here? Now Peninnah shows up, and she's throwing it in her face, and she has to live with the lady. So the woman who's got all the kids is throwing her face, and she lives, and she can't get away from it. You ever had something so in your face, you're like, I can't escape it. Some of you are like, man, Lord, I just wish God would bring me the right man or woman in my life so I could get married, you know, so I could meet, fall in love. And it seems like every one of your friends gets engaged but you. It's in your face, nonstop, all the time. You're like, are you kidding me? And it seems like it's bad enough that you're praying, oh, God, please give me the promotion. And it seems like everyone around you, the idiot beside you in the cubicle, he gets a promotion and you didn't. It's like, it's in your face. Why is God letting that happen? Can I tell you why? Number two, God will allow your lack to become front and center. He's getting your attention. Think about that. You're crying out to God, and everything is Peninnah, Peninnah, Peninnah. All you ever hear is Peninnah. Like she's throwing, she's telling about her kids, and her kids are doing that. Her kids are doing that, and she's putting all the pictures of her kids all over the refrigerator. Every time I go to eat, I have to look at her kids. Can't I just have a child, God? Would you please just hook me up? But why in the world can I not have a kid? And God's like, hey, do I have your attention yet? Oh, maybe this isn't about Peninnah at all. Maybe this isn't about me having a child. Maybe God's trying to get my attention. God will allow a lack, a hole in your life, a place where something's not fulfilled, to cause us to look up. And so maybe God is speaking to you just like God got my attention a year ago. Could God be getting your attention today? God is speaking to someone right now. He's doing something. I believe that. I think the Spirit of God is in this room. Would you agree with that? I think God's moving right now. I really believe that. So look what happens next. At Shiloh, they're at church, they're at the temple, right? At Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli is about to become a key player in this, okay? I want to remind you, in the Old Testament, they did not have the Holy Spirit yet. The way God spoke to people was through a prophet or a priest. You had to have one or the other to hear from God, okay? And so there are occasional times when an angel would show up, an angel of the Lord, but that's incredibly rare. Most of the time it was what? Prophet or priest, okay? So let me go back to this. Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow. Okay, I want you to catch it. She's like, God, I just want a baby. Why can't you just give me a baby? It's the only thing I want. Lord, I serve you, I honor you. Here I am at your temple again. I'm faithful to you, and the only thing you won't give me is the only thing I want. Ever been there? Is this too much to ask? Just one thing? And it seems like everyone else has got it but me? Well, I mean, Lord, I mean, Penina's producing a daycare over here, and I just want one baby, and you won't let me have this one child? God, and then she does something, and she says something so shocking that she never would have done this on her own. She makes a commitment to God. It flies out of her mouth. I bet she's even shocked that she said it. This is what she does. Let me go back to the prayer. Oh, Lord of heavens, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. What? Then I will give him to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. Oh, we're about to get serious right now. Guess what's happening? Breakthrough moment. You see, we think breakthrough prayer means, oh, I just need a breakthrough. How many of you guys want a breakthrough prayer? You're like, I just need a breakthrough. This is what we think breakthrough means. Oh, God, I just finally get through to you. You'll finally hear me. It's like, oh, God, I just want a child. If you'll just give me a baby. Lord, if you'll just give me the promotion. God, if you'll just help me make more money. God, if you'll just turn my marriage around. God, if you'll just turn my teenager around. God, if you'll just do this or do that for me. Lord, if you'll just open this door. And God, do you hear me? And God's like, do you not think I hear you? So let me just get this straight. This is God speaking to us. He's like, let me get this straight. So I run the whole universe. I'm the one who put all the stars in the sky. I somehow keep all of those stars from not falling in and destroying Earth in 1 second. I also keep the Earth on its perfect tilt, just the right angle, just the right axis to where we don't get too close to the sun and burn to death, too far away from the sun and freeze to death. And I keep oxygen perfectly acclimated on this one planet, but no other planet. But somehow I didn't hear you. So I run the whole world. And it's fine, but you think like, oh, when it comes to you, I just can't hear what you're saying. God's like, not only do I hear you, that's part of the problem. It's all I hear from you. All I hear is I want a baby. All I hear is that. So here's the real breakthrough. God's like, finally, Hannah's like, God, just give me a baby. God, just give me a baby. And finally she goes, oh, Lord, if you just give me a baby, I'll give him to you. And God goes, bingo. That's what I've been waiting on this whole time. Here's the point. You know what breakthrough prayer really is? Breakthrough prayer is not you breaking through to God. It's God breaking through to you. That's what real breakthrough is. We're reluctant about this, though. Number three, this is your breakthrough moment. You are not breaking through to God. He is breaking through to you. Some of you are like, God, just give me a man. Just give me a woman in my life. God, if you'll just do that, then if you'll just bring me someone, God, I will honor you with a godly marriage. And God goes, bingo. Thank you. You know what God's actually doing? He's saying, I'm just getting you to commit to what you already commit to anyways. But I have, God says to us, but I have lots of evidence of all the relationships that you did meet someone in the church and you still made about you. And you still disobeyed all the rules I laid down for this. And so I can't bless it. So God's like, so I'm going to get your attention now. I'm just going to pull it all back. Just hold it back. God's like, hey, you started your business. You made all these plans for me. You're all going to, this business is going to be all about the Lord. And then all of a sudden you made it all about you. And God's like, so I'll just let the business have a slump. We'll hit a real barren point where there's barely paying the bills. You're barely making it until you finally go, God, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to go bankrupt. Lord, I'll make this business for you. And God goes, oh, thank you. What you originally committed to, now you're back to that. Now I can do something. See, we think we're trying to get something from God. God's trying to get something from us. So God's like, Hannah, the only reason you don't have a baby yet is because I need you to dedicate this baby to me. And the moment you do that, the moment I let you get desperate enough to actually believe that this baby is not just for your benefit, but for the Lord's benefit, now I would give you the child of your dreams, the business of your dreams, the career of your dreams, the marriage of your dreams, the open door of your dreams. God says, I'll be glad to do that, but you're going to make it about you. And so I got to get you to a desperate moment where you finally say, okay, God, I'll make this about you. So God dried me up this last year, and I finally said, fine, God, it's your church. And God's like, oh, thanks so much for reminding me what I already knew. God had to stop me cold because I was like, but Lord, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And it's like the Lord was saying, oh yeah, if you don't, Bill, I just don't know anyone else that could get it done. It just has to be you. No, that's true. I guess you could use anyone. God's like, yes, I could. So will you surrender to me? Can I just challenge you right now? These people were in the temple. They were close to the Lord. They were honoring God, and yet they were still missing the point. I've done it. Have you? Have you made things that God gave you about you rather than about the Lord at times? We don't mean to do it. It's subtle. but it's a big deal to God. So God, maybe you're wanting a baby, but God wants to advance his divine plan. You want a job promotion, but God wants to advance his divine plan. You want your marriage turned around, but God wants to advance his divine plan through your marriage. You want your teenager to get their life straightened out, but God wants to advance their life into the kingdom of God. In other words, this is not about you and I. It's about what God wants to do. He wants to do something bigger than we ever thought. God, you're not hearing me. God says, I'm hearing you. You're not hearing me. So listen to the Lord right now as he tells you this is something bigger than you. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're lacking, it's bigger than you. He's doing something in someone's heart right now. And by the way, can I tell you something else? People who get what they want right away don't treasure it. You ever notice that? You go to high school and there was some kid in your high school that got like a crazy nice car that like a 50-year-old man would drive after years and years of saving, and they got it at 16. How'd that go? Yeah, there's a kid in my high school like that. He totaled the car in about 4 months. Corvette, gone, just like that. His dad bought him a moped after that, literally. I want to challenge you to understand that when there's a weight, it creates a stewardship in you to take care of what God gives you like no other. So God wanted Hannah to treasure and steward the life of her son in a special way. Now look what happens next. So she prays, and she finally quits praying the same prayer. God, please give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. Same thing. And finally, she goes, okay, God, I'll give you this. It changed everything. So let's stop real quick. Can I give you a breakthrough prayer? Your breakthrough prayer is going to be this. In just a few moments, we're going to pray this. Here's your breakthrough prayer. God, what do you want from me? First of all, he's going to stop everything in heaven. They're going to have the turntables in heaven go, stop. Did I just hear that in South Texas? Did someone just say, what can they do for me? I never hear that prayer. All I hear is what I can do for you. So if you want to hear from God, turn your prayer around. God, what do you want from me? You've obviously got my attention. I've been praying the same thing 50 million times and I haven't heard from you, which means I'm clearly not on the right wavelength with you. So Lord, what am I not getting? What do you want from me? And God's like, now I'll start talking to you. Now you realize whose agenda this is in prayer. It's not yours, it's his. Okay, God, now you have my attention. And so look what happens next. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. This is the priest. Remember, God speaks to the priest, right? Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. What in the world? This is crazy, right? What a story. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. So he goes over and confronts her. She's like, whoa, what are you talking about? Now, Eli had the whole other story going on, too. His boys were a wreck, and they served in the temple, and they weren't honoring God, and they had a drinking problem, and so he's just assuming things that are not true, right? So he comes up, confronts her. Oh, just people drinking. What's going on? Just because it's happening in his life, so he interprets the whole world like that, whatever his problem is. You know, his boys are drinking too much. He's like, you're drinking too much. So he goes, confronts her. Look what happens. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking. I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. And then Eli, realizing that he kind of made a fool of himself, like, oh, I'm sorry, I got this all wrong. He said something flippant, but he's still the voice of God because he's the priest. So when he says it, she hears it as directly from God, which it was. So he says something very quickly. And I have been there as a preacher where I just said some off comment, and years later, someone's like, and then you said this, and it changed my life. And I'm going, really? I remember saying that. And this has happened to me too, where I've gone to other preachers and said, you said this and it changed my life. And they're like, I don't even remember doing that. But it was what I needed, right? So God's that good that he'll get his word accomplished, right? So Eli goes, oh, you're not drunk? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. And then he says, well, by the way, and he throws this line out and it changes her life. Here it is. He said, go in peace. May God grant the request you have asked of. May God give you what you want. She's like, that's God's mouthpiece. He just told me I'm gonna have a baby. Like, this is exactly what she wanted, right? After she commits the baby to God, God goes, now I'm going to bring my priest along. Boom. May God give you what you requested. Then it says this. She exclaimed, she said, oh, thank you. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. I love this. She immediately changed. Isn't that crazy? She's like, God, I just want a baby. Just give me a baby. Please give me a baby. Oh, God. Okay, fine, God. If you want me to, if you'll give me a baby, I'll get back to you. Priest walks up. Are you drinking? No. What are you talking about? No. Okay, well, may God give you your request. What just happened? God just spoke to me, and I'm going to get. And guess what she does? She's like, wipes her tears. Okay, I want to go eat. Just like that. Now, did you know this? Does she have the baby yet? No. This is really important. We need to live on the promise of God. This is really important. Would you write this down? When God gives you a promise, live as if it's fulfilled. Some people say, no, I'm not going to be happy till I have the baby. Then you'll never be happy. If you have to have the thing you're asking for to be happy, you will not be happy. Because there are plenty of people who have babies and are not happy. There are plenty of married people. There's people single, like, God, if you just give me the man or woman of my dreams. And there's plenty of married people right now like, Lord, if you'll just take the man or woman of my dreams. Really? Could you please just... In other words, if you're thinking happiness is based upon what you get, you're going to be sorely disappointed. I just need to tell you that that miracle baby will one day grow up to be a teenager and talk back to you. Miracles will talk back to you. So if you're looking for happiness for when I get this, God says, no, you should be happy off my promise. In other words, she was like, God's going to do it. I'm no longer worried. I'm no longer stressed. I don't have to panic. You know what we do when we panic? We try to solve the problem ourselves. And that happened in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah. Oh, well, God's not giving us pregnant. So Abraham, Sarah, you know what? Sarah says, Abraham, take my assistant and go sleep with her. And I mean, you talk about creating a Jerry Springer. There it was. And it just messed up a whole lot of stuff. And we're still dealing with that to this day in our culture. And so, but I don't know if you know, that's where Islam came from. Did you know that? Just if you run down the line, both fathers of Abraham. Jews and Islam. So anyways, basically it's a huge mess, right? And so can I tell you, when you take God's will in your own hands, you mess it up. And so she's like, I'm not going to do that. God, you gave me a word. I trust it. So she goes home. Guess what? She gets pregnant. Now I'm sure Elkanah was loving this. She's like, hey baby, want to get going on tonight? What do you think? He's like, whoa, I like this new girl. I don't know who she is, but let's go. Because she had a promise from God. I know I'm going to get pregnant. And of course she did. Of course, he was just thinking, I just saw my wife naked, I'm good. But she's like, no, there's a lot more going on here. I have a promise from God. She gets pregnant, she has a baby, and then she starts to live off that promise. Can I just challenge you right now to quit waiting for what you want to happen and start believing the promise of God today? God just gave you a promise, did he not? He's got you. So wipe your tears and go eat and say, God, you got me. I can trust in you. I want to challenge you to think of it differently. You know what? I didn't mention this earlier, but when God told me to take a year off, we were about 3 to 4 months away from releasing what I believe is going to be the biggest book God ever gave me on prayer. This is not a brag, this is a grace of God, my book agent, he even told me, he goes, I really don't know if we're going to get a book deal, and just being honest with you, Bill, the book industry is not doing well, but I'll try. So he goes and he comes back and he goes, well, they want your book. And this is one of the largest publishers in the world, the second largest publisher in the world. I was shocked. And then I'm told a few months after I signed this book deal, you need to take a year off. I'm like, I can't do that. I have a book. I can't do that. This is a huge project. And I felt the Lord tell me, yeah, you're going to do it. So I had to call my book agent. I'm thinking, they're just going to cancel the contract. I'm not a big name. Like they don't care. So I thought they'll just, that's it. It's just going to get cut. So I called my book agent and said, man, God's doing something. I don't like this, but I know he's speaking and he's telling me to take a year and just do less. And so I can't release this book. I know they're probably going to cancel the contract. He goes, let me call. He calls me back. He says, you're not going to believe this, but the CEO of the division of Hachette Books has gone through something in her own life, pretty personal. And she said, when I talked to her, tell Pastor Bill, I get it. And you just let us know when you're ready to release that book, we'll do it. Totally a miracle in my book. I'm like, thank you, God. Here's the point. The point is not a book. The point is this. The point is that whatever you're waiting on can wait if you'll wait on the Lord. God is better on your side than you on your own. Wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. He will prepare you. He will do great things for you, but you gotta wait on the Lord. Last thing is this, and we're gonna wrap it up. What does she do? Now she has this baby, and look, oh, by the way, she had many children after this too, by the way. So like the dam was broken open at this point and God began to bless her. But look at 1 Samuel 1, she keeps her word. I asked the Lord to give me this boy and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him back to the Lord and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. After she weaned Samuel, her son, She gave him literally to the temple. Now, don't get anyone get ideas. You're not dropping your kids off here forever, okay? I just want to be real clear. But she did do that. And why would God cause her to wait? Can I tell you why? Her baby, Samuel, became the greatest prophet in Old Testament history. Did you know that? He became the greatest priest, the prophet and priest. He is the one who anointed King David. This was the guy. And God used him powerfully. There are two books in the Bible named after him in his namesake, Samuel, because of him. Can I just challenge you with this? God keeps his word, will you? That's the last thing I want to tell you today. God keeps his word, will you? Now, let me be real raw about this whole point, because some of you have prayed and had a moment where you were desperate and you cried out to God and you made a commitment and you haven't kept it. Some of you are like, God, some there's people who prayed this prayer, God, just please don't let me be pregnant. Or God, please don't let her be pregnant. How about this one? God, please, if you'll, just help me not to lose my job. God, please don't let me get kicked out of school for this. Lord, if you'll just not let me get kicked out of school, I promise you, I'll commit my life to you. God, if you'll just not let me get divorced over this, Lord, I promise I'll go to church regularly. Lord, if you'll just not let me lose my business and go into bankruptcy, I promise that one day when you make me rich, I will write a check for $1 million. I'll do it, God, I promise, if you'll just allow me to have it. And God's now like, how many years ago was that? How much money you got in your account? That's funny. I kept my word. You gonna keep yours? That's funny. You said, God, if you'll just give me the man or woman I want, then we'll be faithful to you. And God's like, that's funny because you're dipping, skipping church all the time. But I gave you what you wanted. You know how many singles I see come to church? Oh, God, just give me the right. And we get that right man or woman, we grab them and go, thanks, God, see you. God's like, wait, what? So I kept my word, and now you're not going to keep yours. I gave you that child, now you're not going to dedicate that child to me. I got you out of that addiction, and now you're not going to live your dreams following the Lord, seeking the Lord. I set you free from bankruptcy, and now you're not going to commit your career to the Lord. I saved you from losing your house, and yet you're not going to tithe. I blessed you and turned things around with that teenager, and now you're not going to honor the Lord with me, with that kid. Could God be saying, I brought you to a point of brokenness to get something out of you. I came through. Will you? Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? We just take a moment to pray. I want to encourage you today during this prayer time. Is God speaking to you? Is there something God has spoken to you? Here's the prayer. Here's the breakthrough prayer. This is a crazy, radical prayer that we never prayed. This is why we always get God's attention. Here's the prayer. Right now, silently before God, just pray this prayer. And I believe he'll answer you within a second. Here's the prayer. God, what do you need from me? What do you want from me? Pray that prayer. And I bet God will clearly tell you something. It'll scare you. You'll be like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. God's like, well, I waited to get you this desperate for you to finally commit it. God's like, I'll let the wait stay longer. If you want to extend the wait, God will be glad to keep you in the waiting room longer if you'd like to finally get that commitment out of you. What's he speaking to you about? When he's given you his word, when he's told you exactly what he wants you to do, would you lift your hand high? As God begins to speak, look at that. Within seconds, God is already moving, telling you exactly what he wants from you. See, we keep asking God for what we want from him, but God's like, no, I want something from you. I want your commitment. Maybe he's saying to you singles, I want your purity. Start with that. Be pure in the eyes of God. Not perfect, but pure. Okay, Lord, I'll commit to that. Then God's okay, now I can bless you. Okay, now I can turn things around. Okay, now I can bless your business. What's God telling you to do? Commit it to God, trust in him, and watch what God will do. The wait has a purpose. It's to get something out of you. Father, thank you for your word and your truth today. Thank you, God, for those who are committing themselves to you in a unique way because of a wait. Thank you, Lord, that you use a wait in our lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've given your life to Christ, Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you to receive him. You can pray this simple prayer. This is what it means to become a Christ follower, to become a Christian. Pray this prayer with me. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, would you hold your hand high right now? All across our campuses, hands are going up. Hold those hands high if you just gave your life to Christ. Thank you. There are hands going up. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Hold them high. Hold them high all across our campus. We see you. Thank you. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high right here at Broadcast, right there at Portland, Rockport, Fulton, Padre Island. Hold those hands high. They're in our prison ministry. If you're online with us right now, you just gave your life to Christ, let us know in the text chat. Just text "my hands raised" or click "hand raised" right now. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, God, for the way you're working and moving in our lives. Thank you, God, that in the middle of our wait, we realize you were waiting on us. So we commit ourselves to you. Thank you for your word and your truth today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true.